You know, some information, some news tend to carry a lot of implications, a lot of weight in our lives. I mean, you know how it is when you go to the doctor and something that is happening in your body and you go there not knowing what he or she might tell you. And so you just had a test, that exam, and so you go home and you get a call and you know, you just don't know what the doctor is gonna say to you. Some news can really transform, change our lives. Like I said, they can really carry huge implications to our lives. The sudden death of a loved one. I mean, all of a sudden, like car accident, it's like they call you. It's like, imagine how that changes you from the inside out, and how, you know, plans that you might have and you might have been making for a while, and all of a sudden you had to put them on hold. It's not easy. Especially many of us, you know, we like to be in control. And when those situations happen, then we realize that truly we are not in control. These are shocking things, disturbing news to our ears. I mean, how often have you had to change your plans for something? You know, we all make plans, but you know, we had to change our vacation plans this year. You know, nobody wants to talk about 2020 because all the things are happening and we want to skip it. We just want to fast forward to 2021, but you know, we're still going to just transition from 20 to 21 and that thing might still be there. You know, and so, you know, like I said, we try to protect ourselves and there's so many things, but news can change your life. So many things out of our control. I mean, think about it. There was a young woman, a young girl, planning a wedding. You know, she was so in love with this man. And she's planning a wedding. Maybe some of you can relate to that. You know, when you first started planning that wedding, and you know, you know, sometimes I love it because sometimes mom and dad, they have an opinion, but eventually the wedding is yours. It's what you want to do. And everybody, your friends, like, oh, you should do this. You should. It's your wedding. So you're planning that, and she's so excited, and she's getting ready, you know, and she loved this man. And then all of a sudden, she had an unexpected visit. Somebody showed up to tell her that she needed to put the wedding plans on hold. Now, if you were the ones planning that wedding, imagine how that might have felt. So seriously, that would be like Elise would say, really? I mean, I'm doing all this, and now you're telling me that I had to change my plans? You know, unexpectedly. You know, maybe you heard that story, and we tend to bring that story to life around Christmas time because you are familiar with this young woman, with this young girl. Her name was Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph from the lineage, from a descendant of David. You know, and like I said, they got up that day, they went about their normal days and doing what they used to do when she had a visit from above. An angel showed up to her. And you know, one thing that you see in the Bible, every time an angel shows up, people kind of like, whoa. You know, people knew back in biblical times, if an angel showed up, he had two news, and you did not know which one it was. He either showed up to bless you, or he either showed up to curse you. So you did not know which one it was until the angel would tell you, do not be afraid. Now I know that, I don't have, you know. But if he came to tell you, hey, this is what the Lord said, now you're in trouble. So let me go back. Let's go back to that text in Luke chapter 1. You got your Bibles with you. I mean, I just can't imagine like when something like that would happen to this young woman, especially after she spent so much time in wedding preparations. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now, it says in the sixth month, Angela read that version. It says the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And you're going to see later on in the text, that's what it means. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, or the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greetings this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Like I said, Mary is engaged to Joseph, and an angel showed up. The angel, his name is Gabriel. You hear about Michael, Gabriel, and those are not just angels, they're archangels, more powerful than just a regular angel. So God sent Gabriel to Nazareth, to Mary. And notice how he comes. It says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Or, "Greetings, favored one." I mean, how you usually don't greet anybody like that. I mean, what does that actually mean? And that's why Mary's confused. Mary had no idea what the angel meant by that type of greeting. Favor what? The Bible says she was disturbed, perplexed, puzzled, troubled by the greeting. And then Gabriel explained to her what he meant by that. When he says, "Greeting, favor one," he says, look at verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." All throughout scripture you see that phrase, to find favor with God is when God looks to you with grace. Noah found favor with God. In the midst of people, you know, bad people doing their own things, Noah was doing the right thing and he found favor before God. God looks to Noah with favor, with grace. And so the angel said, "You have found favor with God." God's looked to you with grace. You are favored by God. And then he goes on to say, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And then you see the profile of Jesus right there in that text. He will be great and will be called the Son of God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will never end. Now just pause for a moment. Think about all the information the angel is giving this young woman. I mean, just the fact that I'm going to have a child, I'm not even married yet. Now, in our society, probably that doesn't cause a lot of disturbance. But in that culture, you know, the fact that she said that she's a virgin means that she had not even been with a man physically. And so she's having already trouble. I mean, it's like, I'm going to have a baby. She's probably thinking, when I get married with Joseph. No, but the thing is, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to come now. The angel shows up to tell Mary, how would you like to be the mother of the King of the universe? How would you like to be the mother of the Savior, the Messiah? I'm here to tell you that you will be the mother of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of the Jews. I mean, look at verse 34. This is how Mary responded to the news. Like I say, it's really shocking for this young woman. She said, "How can this be? For I'm a virgin. How can this be possible? You're telling me I'm gonna conceive and give birth to a son." Now, you see, the angel showing up to Mary is already the fulfillment of a prophecy. 700 years before Jesus, there was a man named Isaiah. And he told a king, "The Lord himself is going to give you a sign." Isaiah 7:14, "A virgin will be with a child." You know, virgins don't give birth. The moment you're the moment that you conceive, you're no longer a virgin. But Isaiah said a virgin will give birth to a son, and they are to give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then 700 years, you fast forward from Isaiah to this moment in time with Mary and Gabriel, when Gabriel said, you will conceive and give birth to a son. And she said, what did she say? I'm a virgin. That's a fulfillment of a prophecy about Jesus, that he will be born through a virgin, a woman that had not been touched by any man yet. So she said that to the angel. How can that be? For I'm a virgin. And then the angel said, in other words, leave the impossible to God. I know in your mind it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that, you know, that you're a virgin and you will conceive. Yeah, scientifically, that's impossible. But Gabriel said to her, leave the impossible to God. Look what he says in verse 34 through following. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow. That word overshadow means that the power of the Holy Spirit will envelop you. So that the babe to be born will be called the Son of God. Leave the impossible to God, Mary. God will take care of the details. God's Spirit will come upon you, and the power and his power will overshadow you. He will take residence in you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he said, even Elizabeth, your relative, a woman that was supposed to be older and barren, that could not conceive and have kids, she's pregnant and she's already in the sixth month. And you know, Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. You know the son of Elizabeth? You know his name? John the Baptist. He and Jesus were related somewhere, and John prepared the way for Jesus. John the Baptist was the one that later on began to preach the kingdom of God is near. The first preacher ever. And then when Jesus showed up, he is the one, Elizabeth's son, who introduced Mary's son to the world. And you see all this thing right connected right here. So the angel said, even Elizabeth, your relative, she's pregnant already 6 months, even though she was called barren. And remember the story of Elizabeth, the dad could not believe. And during the nine months of the pregnancy, he could not even speak. The angel punished Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, because when the angel announced the news that Elizabeth was going to be pregnant, he did not believe. God said, oh, you don't want to believe me? You won't be able to talk for 9 months. Imagine that, 9 months. Zechariah, when the baby was born, he had to write it because he could not even speak. Because he did not believe God when he told him that the same angel, Gabriel, told him, your wife Elizabeth is going to be with a child. Zechariah could not believe because she was barren. She was old. How is that possible? Leave the impossible to God. Leave the details to God. Like I said, when Elizabeth gave birth, what's the name of the kid? Nobody knew, and John had to write it down. Zechariah said, John is his name. And then he was able to speak again. So, 6 months of Elizabeth already being pregnant for 6 months, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, or Savior. And he says, even Elizabeth, look at verse 37. 35, 36 and 37. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6 month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I don't know about you, but it's interesting. You know the song, A Baby Changes Everything? I mean, young ladies in our congregation, and they're pregnant, and they're about to realize how true that song is. A baby does change everything. And think about the effect of that news to Mary. I mean, just the announcement of the baby is already changing her world. And we have not even talked about Joseph yet. This news could have impacted Mary in so many different ways. It could have impacted, it could have really, you know, savored the relationship between Mary and Joseph, because Joseph is not the father. This is like the Maury show right there. Who's the father? Joseph, it ain't you. And imagine how, think about how is she going to tell Joseph? She's going to go and say, hey, Joseph, an angel showed up and told me. I mean, just think about the implication of that. Like, Mary's world is about to be rocked. It's about to be turned upside down. Just by the news, the baby's not even here yet. Just the news that you're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, and he's going to be great, he's going to be a king. So, the effect of that news, like I said, it carries a lot of implication. How is Joseph going to react to all this? Now, Matthew tells us that Joseph did not believe Mary when she told him about the angel appearance and telling him. Joseph was about to leave her. I mean, because the Bible said because he was a righteous man, he was about to undo the whole engagement secretly. You know, because imagine in that culture, it was like, she's pregnant, she cheated on me, so the whole engagement, the whole wedding, done. Joseph was going to do that, and an angel had to show up to Joseph to say, no, stay, man. This is from God. But he, you know, you want to know how he reacted? He was ready to leave Mary because he did not believe that an angel showed up to her and told her about a baby. He didn't think that was true. Joseph wanted to leave Mary secretly because he said he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, you know, and ridicule. I mean, the moment everybody in town, Nazareth, knew that you guys were planning a wedding, all of a sudden she's pregnant and you're not the father. Imagine the whole family name, I mean, the whole thing, you will be the laughing stock of that community. For ages, they will be telling the kids and the grandkids about what happened to you in that wedding. Just, it was, you know, it might have been those weddings you see, like funny videos that, you know, the whole thing fell apart because Mary cheated on Joseph. And I mean, everybody who knew that, we know it. So Joseph just wanted to I'm just going to leave Mary with her pregnancy. Now, you and I also need to understand what a pregnancy meant back in that society, back in that culture. What did that mean for Mary? Now, Mary will be considered an adulterer. She will bring shame and ridicule to the family name. Because she was an adulterer, she was engaged to be married, and now, you know, you have a child, and your boyfriend is not even the father of that child. By law, they could kill her. They could stone Mary. Joseph could have just made a big deal out of the whole thing, and Mary's life would have been in jeopardy just because of this news. Just because you're pregnant. And Joseph is not the father. He could have just gone and said, yeah. And then how did they punish adultery back in that society? By death through stoning. They would, just throwing stones at you until you're dead. And imagine the family name. Like, they're devastating. They probably did not believe Mary. Mom and dad, like, really? You did that? This is how you repay us? I mean, the whole family name will be destroyed in Nazareth. Everyone in Nazareth will hear the story. I'm telling you, a baby does change everything, doesn't it? This baby will not only change Mary's world, it will change the course of history as well. Look at the profile of that baby. It's going to be a son, a male child. His name will be Jesus. You know, mom and dad you won't be able to choose a name for him. We already have a name, Jesus. Yeshua, the Savior, he will be great and will be called the Son of God. So she should not be the mother of the Son of God. Imagine that, what a privilege. He will reign on David's throne. He will be a king. Remember, King David was the second king of Israel, and he reigned in Jerusalem. David had a son named Solomon, the third king of Israel. Solomon had a couple of sons, and they split up the kingdom. So now we have a descendant of David, that's going to, being born through Mary, that's going to reign in Jerusalem. And then apparently, according to the text, his kingdom will never end. You know, everything ends. You know, democracy, republic, monarchy, all those things will end. When he establishes that kingdom, the angel said his kingdom will endure forever. So this baby changed the course of history. Even our calendar has been affected by him, because you look at our calendar, we have AD, BC, and AD. Why? Because of this baby. A baby changes everything, doesn't it? God chose this young woman to be the channel by which he will bring about salvation to the world. Like I said, look at all the implications of the news. And regardless of all the changes, regardless of all, like Mary was so confused and all the information that the angel gave her, she still has a choice to make. And look at how she responded. Verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." That word servant is the word doulos, which means I am the Lord's slave. He said, "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary surrendered her own agenda to God's agenda. She placed herself at the Lord's disposal. "I am the Lord's slave," she said. "May it happen to me just as you said." She said that even when she did not understand quite the whole baby Jesus and all what he was going to do. I mean, she's still saying yes to God even when she still did not comprehend totally the implications of having a baby. Mary chose to trust God even when she did not understand. I always say this is my definition of faith: trusting God even when it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like, doesn't make sense, all the things that, you know, maybe, Lord, you might have to talk to Joseph. I mean, hello, but I'm going to trust you. Okay, let it happen as you said. She surrendered her plans to God. How many of us can actually do that sometimes? She chose to trust God even when she did not understand all the details. Mary was agreeing with God's will. And you see, when you agree or when you go with God's will, you might have to go against culture. When you agree to do God's will, you might have to go against your own family sometimes. That's the story of Mary. Saying yes to God, you know, Joseph might leave you. Your mom and dad are going to just really disown you because of what you did. Saying yes to God, this is what it means saying yes to God. You might get in trouble with your family. You might get in trouble with your future husband. So saying yes to God means that sometimes you have to go against people. Saying yes to God means that sometimes you have to go against your own plans and against your own feelings. Imagine all the feelings that this young woman is having right now with all the information that this angel just gave her. And still she says, "Whatever you want to do, I'll do it." Wow. She surrendered everything to God at that moment. Saying yes to Jesus means going against you, like I said, it means going against your own traditions and cultural things that you're supposed to do. I mean, family tradition now is in jeopardy right here. But Mary knew the implications of agreeing to God's will. Like I said, Joseph could leave her, but she chose to trust God. She could have been killed or at least disowned by the family, but she said, "I'm still going to trust God, even when I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this whole thing is going to unfold, but I'm going to trust God." She trusted God even when her world was rocked by the news of a baby. I mean, I just go back to the greeting, highly favored. Many of you probably thinking, really? Highly favored, all these things that might happen to me? It's almost like I want to say, "Lord, find somebody else." Moses told God that one time, "Lord, get somebody else, but not me." She said, "I'm willing. You're highly favored. God looks to you with grace, with favor. You have found favor before God." And God already knew that she was going to say yes. But you know, it's not like God's just forcing Mary. God knew, fast forwarding time to this moment, and he knew that when the angel showed up, Mary was ready to say yes, regardless of the implications of that news. She was highly favored. And my friends, I need you to understand that you too are highly favored by God. How? Because God sent Jesus to be born of a woman, to be born through Mary, to give you and I life. You and I are highly favored. It's almost like God's looking to you and I with favor 2,000 years ago, and He sent us the one by whom you and I can be blessed. You see, this baby changed the whole status of Mary, and He changed the condition, your condition, my condition. He changed our status from unrighteous to righteous people, from death into life, from darkness, the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of light. That's what He came to do. Jesus changed your condition from being enemies of God to now being friends with God. And not just that, He gave you the authority now to also be made children of God, to be part of God's family. This is what He came to do. So you see, God looks to you with favor. He sees you and He's showing you grace. Jesus Christ truly is God's grace manifested, God's grace revealed to you and I. The greatest gift, even when we did not deserve. Jesus changed our destination. We were heading toward death, shame and ridicule. Now He recalculated that and pointed us toward eternal life in His name. He changed our destination. He changed our condition. We were heading to hell, and now we can head toward heaven through Jesus. He recalculated our journey to a glorious destination in heaven. Now Jesus, that baby that was born 2,000 years, He changed the course of history. He changed our lives. He continues to change people even today, because I see Him changing people that used to be murderers, and now He transformed them into evangelists and missionaries. Only He can do that. And He continues to change people from adulterers to people like now can really love their wives and dedicate their lives to God. I mean, He continues to change life 2,000 years. It's still creating an effect in the lives. When people say yes to Jesus, their world is turned upside down. And He, the Savior, I mean, truly, He is what the angels told Mary. He's known as the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. And guess what? That promise is not even fulfilled yet. He's coming soon. We don't know when, but eventually will come that He will reign in David's throne forever when He establishes His kingdom. Jesus first came to be born as a baby, to be cared by Mary and Joseph. That baby grew up. And we celebrate Him as a man every time we partake of communion. He came, and His whole mission was to die. Because through His death, He will bring you and I close to God. It's almost like He's called the mediator, the one that goes between you and God. He's going to reconcile you to God so that you can, from enemy, you can be framed with God. From being in the kingdom of darkness, you can be now brought to the kingdom of light. That's what Jesus did. And that's how John portrayed Him in the Gospel of John. So you and I are highly favored by God. And Jesus, the Savior of the world, continues to change life even as we speak. And the reason that you and I continue to proclaim His word, telling people that, yes, you might go through a lot of tough time in this world. You might be going through a storm right now. Here's one that can change that in a heartbeat if you want to. And when Jesus doesn't calm the storm, when He chooses not to calm the storm or to change the situation, you know what He does? He will change the way you look at the situation. He will change your perspective so that through Him you can just go in the midst of the chaos and you still be at peace. That's why He's also known as the Prince of Peace, because you can be at peace in the midst of turmoil and chaos because He brings that to you. Man, He's still changing a lot of things. He changed my lives. He's changing your lives. And He will continue changing people. Because that's who He is. The Savior of the world. So my friends, I don't need to tell you anything else. You, even when you might not feel sometimes, you are highly favored. God's looking to you with grace. And He gave you the greatest gift. So that you don't have to live life by yourself. Here's the game changer right here, Jesus Christ, for you and for me. Would you pray with me this morning?